Welcome to Hot Yoga Radio. It's the 15th of November 2018. I'm going to do another podcast relating to one of the songs from Songs of Knowing Yes. I'm going to take it that you've listened to other podcasts in this series.
Thanks.
All right. And you know the rationale and where these things come from. And this is another one in the cluster of songs which are about desire. This one's called Desire in the Future. We would not desire if we really believed in the marrow of our bones that we could not choose a future, at least in principle. But this might be a complete illusion. Every feature of our existence, including every detail of our past, present and future, could well be completely determined by inviolable chains of cause and effect, going back to the beginning of time. Every feature, including, of course, that we plan, choose, try and fulfil our desires, and sometimes succeed. But what does it matter, illusion or not, living is desire. In the end, if we are determined, we are determined to be free. And even choosing not to choose is to choose, and to choose to amplify desire's current. Just this. What's this about? The philosophical theme in this podcast is whether determinism applies or not. And what it means to us existentially, should determinism actually apply? Now, determinism says that every event in the universe is determined by prior events in chains of cause and effect right back to the beginning of time, and that really nothing can be any different, that the future can be no different, the past can be no different. Obviously, the past can be no different. An interpretation of the past can be different, but the past itself can be no different. Present can be no different. The future can be no different. Therefore, and this works if causality is never violated. If cause and effect is always, without exception, the structure of the unfolding of events, which is time. And some people have tried to argue that causality applies and that determinism is in fact the state of affairs in the universe. Therefore, that we can act differently, that we can be a lot more relaxed and not try to influence things. Because what would be the point of trying to influence things if it's all determined anyway? So there's an attempt to get us to relax in the stream of life by persuading us that causality is inviolable and determinism applies in the strongest fashion. Which is a bit daft actually, because if determinism applies and we do find ourselves being anxious about the future or trying to plan a future, trying to make something happen, whether it's, I don't know, make a killing on the stock market or win the affections of a beloved or whatever, that those events too, that striving, that anxiety, that planning, that attempting to make things happen is itself determined. I mean, if determinism applies, I would argue, we are determined to in some instances and at some times, try to influence the future, to try and make a future for ourselves, or maybe for our countries, maybe for the world. And there's a sense in which determinism, if it really applies, can't existentially affect us. Except, of course, that we are existentially affected by what we choose to believe or disbelieve about the nature of the universe and the nature of the flowing of time. Now, this is connected with desire, just to justify the title of this song, through the fact that it's desire that makes us want to create futures and to bring about certain events and states of affairs. And this is, as mentioned in the previous song, one of the big deals about desire is the way it's enmeshed in time, the way it's a future orientation in many ways. As I said, you know, what does it matter if determinism applies and everything is completely determined by inviolable chains of cause and effect going back to the beginning of time? What does it matter, illusion or not? Living is desire. And this is an attempt on my part to turn us back to lived experience and to be cool with the fact that human beings try and make futures and that we have a faculty for planning and prognosticating and some quite good predictive abilities in certain spheres, which is what science is. It's particularly physics, when you discover regularities in the behaviour of the world, which can be mathematised, so that you can calculate outcomes in certain areas of life, as long as it don't get too complex, and have some sort of predictive ability. The position of the moon in a certain measuring framework can be predicted to, I don't know, a tiny percentage of error, almost absolutely, because the regularity of planetary motion is calculable from the law of gravity that was discovered by Newton. And I'm saying that in the name of determinism, that we needn't become fatalistic. If we are determined, determinism applies, we are determined to be free. Free will and determinism are not opposites, as is often claimed. Because free will and the exertion of free will and the satisfaction of making something happen and the ability to predict are items of lived experience. And it's just a fundamental of lived experiences that we have a certain amount of free will. And determinism belongs in another sphere. If determinism applies, it's a fact of the universe. It's about the cosmos, it's about cosmology, it's about the world of matter, it's physics, it's a matter of physics. It's not a matter of lived experience. Even though, of course, we do sometimes experience determinism. Because determinism is in some measure a feature of lived experience. Even in lived experience we find there are repetitive patterns and the predictability. For instance, if you put your hand in the fire, it will burn and it will hurt. And we learn to know that that's pretty well going to happen every time. But nevertheless, in the large, determinism belongs to a category of speculations about the universe, whereas free will belongs to the category of lived experience. So I'm kind of taking a bit of a swipe at some of our spiritual teachers who tell us, you know, just everything's what will be, will be. Or if you like, this is the best of all possible worlds. And that therefore one becomes fatalistic, one doesn't engage. And I think this is to repudiate creativity and concern for the human future, for the development of society, for politics, all of which is sort of primordial. And I would say any doctrine that implores you to give up a whole function of human life, a whole aspect of human life, is really in some measure life negating. And I certainly don't recommend it. Now, I would also say that determinism, or in fact any speculation about the nature of the universe, is not provable, not grounded, and might well be an illusion. And I said this at the beginning, I'll just repeat, we would not desire, if we really believed in the marrow of our bones, that we could not choose a future, at least in principle. But this might be a complete illusion. I mean, you really would have to believe very, very deeply in determinism for it to quench desire, because our bodies desire. Our bodies desire despite what we might consciously wish. And as I say here, it would have to be right in the marrow of your bones. I doubt if anybody, except very, very rarely, accomplishes that degree of conviction in an assertion about the nature of the universe that is and can't be immune from doubt. In other words, as I said earlier, you know, we might think, or the fact that it might well be a complete illusion. You have to be a bit bonkers, it'd be like religious faith, really. Now you might say, what about science? Well, I'll put it to you that science, at least till we get down to quantum levels and stuff that happened right near the Big Bang, it presumes determinism. Newtonian physics presumes causality. Takes it as an axiom. It's something that we don't doubt. It's just, it's there as a presupposition that enables the project of science to proceed. Now you might say the fact that science does have predictive success is able to formulate laws of regular behaviour in the universe, that therefore causality is true. Well, as you know, presupposing what's at issue is a circular argument, and therefore dodgy. You know, it's a petitio principio, it's a question begging. And the truth of the matter is that causality is presupposed and not proven. And I go on in this vein, and I end up saying, well, living is desire, living is desire. And the thrust towards the elimination of desire by accepting a dubious metaphysical premise, i.e. that causality applies absolutely, is, I would say, a disaster. So I'm a bit down on, as I say, certain spiritual teachers who try and push this line. There's nothing wrong with the active life. There's nothing wrong with wanting to make things happen. It kind of rather depends on what those things that you want to happen are, I would say. They can be evaluated according to various evaluative touchstones, but intrinsically the thing itself of desire, of living with the prospect of making futures is rather cool. Okay, I'm going to read it again, which is my policy with these podcasts taken from this book of Songs of Knowingness. Desire and the future. We would not desire if we really believed in the marrow of our bones that we could not choose a future, at least in principle. But this might be a complete illusion. Every feature of our existence, including every detail of our past, present and future, could well be completely determined by inviolable chains of cause and effect, going back to the beginning of time. Every feature, including, of course, that we plan, choose, try and fulfil our desires, and sometimes succeed. But what does it matter? Illusion or not, living is desire. In the end, if we are determined, we are determined to be free. And even choosing not to choose is to choose, and to choose to amplify desire's current. Just this. Now at the end, I arrive at my conclusion, which is just two words there, just this. And this is a pointing towards immediate lived experience, the actual phenomena of living, lived experience itself, felt lived experience. And it's bringing you back there, it's bringing you back home. It's like the Zen master's hedge at the bottom of the garden, or 3 pounds of flax. But I do also note that choosing not to choose is to choose, and to choose to amplify desire's current. And what I'm getting at there is the yoga methodology, the actual things that we do that I recommend. And this takes the practice of yoga to be letting be with bright awareness. So there is an attitude that you can take up from time to time. This is not contrary to having an active life, making things happen, creating things, having projects that are future orientated. But it does point towards a specific practice of letting be with bright awareness. And that in itself is a kind of momentarily choosing not to choose, to letting life happen, to being into the flow of things, to being merged with the flow of your own experience as a contemplative practice that arrives at the yoga being state, which is radical openness to what is, whatever is. But bear in mind that what is might be your desire to fulfil a project, to make something happen and come to fruition in the future. Thanks for listening. Over and out. Speak soon.